Welcome to Square Gators, the local harness racing show. This is all a part of the Super Saturday Sports Show that you can listen to as to keep up to date with all things happening locally and around the world in the world of harness racing. The show airs on a weekly basis on a Saturday throughout the year and is hosted by local harness racing identity Daniel Hibbert on 1FM Shepparton Radio.
Super Saturday Sport with Mark Owens.
Welcome back to the Super Saturday Sports Show here at 1FM 98.5 live and local. As I welcome the voice of RSN, Dan Hibbard, to the microphone via the phone patch. We were going to have you live, Dan, but they've apparently done a bit of a cricketing trick on you and they're going to start early in the cricket today.
Yeah, morning, Stats. Yeah, they've decided to kick off about an hour early, so thrown the plans out of whack a little bit, but we're out at Katandra this morning and kicking off very soon, so looking forward to that. But yeah, it's been another busy week in harness racing, a controversial week in harness racing, I guess you could say.
A bit of a controversial end to the Moonee Valley racing last night, and interesting, a bit spooky in a way, because Animo goes around today, and I do believe, and I stand to be corrected, but it was the first protest in the last since that famous Cox Plate.
Yeah, it was. I did see the end of that race there at Moonee Valley. It was I was honestly a bit surprised that there was a protest thrown in, but it was obviously fiercely contested in the stewards' room. But it was it was interesting to see an objection thrown in. But jockeys are certainly allowed to do that if they think they've been wronged.
And it was great to see the Moonee Valley Racing Club learn their lesson from Cox Plate Day when they didn't allow the media in to effectively look at the Cox Plate protest.
Yeah, it's really important that people get a clearer understanding of how those sort of things work. And obviously COVID really does make it a little bit more complicated. But as we saw in Sydney with the Inter-Dominion and the protest that was on in the Inter-Dominion, it's very important that even under COVID protocols that those sort of hearings are made a bit more public so people get an understanding of why decisions are made and how those decisions are met, because it's all well and good to get a protest, an upheld or a dismissed decision, but sometimes you'd like to understand why those decisions have been reached.
Yeah, you're spot on, Dan. Even if you don't like the decision and you're on the wrong end of it, at least you know the argument as to why.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
And, of course, we'll talk about it a little later, but Terang get their time to shine tonight with the Group 1 Pacing Cup at Terang. And, of course, these cups are just continuing, go through till about April.
Yeah, all the country cups are really in big swing at the moment. Obviously, Terang's got theirs tonight. It's a good card down there tonight. And, obviously, we've got some big racing up at Menangle with Chariots of Fire and some Oaks heats as well. So their carnival really kicking off, the Carnival of Miracles. And so good times in harness racing. But certainly last week was a bit of a disappointing situation for harness followers in that the Melton meeting last Saturday night, the Group 1 night pistol, that whole meeting was shown on Sky 2, so it was copped a fair bit of backlash from participants, not only harness racing, but I think gallops and greyhounds as well, about the treatment of that meeting last Saturday night. And I think it may have been a bit of a dig at HRV for putting the meeting on, the Hunter Cup meeting on at racing.com the week before. So it was certainly Twitter went into a bit of meltdown there last Saturday night.
Yeah, that was interesting actually, Dan, I thought too. Look, I know with Sky Racing 2, they're looking at changing the name of Sky Racing 2 to jazz it up a bit, because it's seen very much for people that don't sort of have a bet or follow the racing too much. It tends to be the generic channel where the, I hope, for want of a better term, the rubbish racing goes. And not that I'm saying that the Knight's Pistol was a rubbish race, but
lesser quality races go on it. So
yeah,
you Sky One's more for your premium product, the better races. And when you get a Group One on Sky Two, it certainly does leave a bit of a bad taste in participants' mouths. And that was certainly the feel from last week.
Yeah, I'm amazed they didn't have a dedicated channel for that particular evening, to be honest. Like, I would have thought that they would have had something on the carnival or the you know, the third channel there.
Yeah, so obviously there was coverage on Trots Vision. They had good coverage on through there. But
not everybody accesses that, do they, Dan? It's a great product, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, a lot of people just sort of rely on their Foxtel and the Sky channels. And obviously Sky 2 is now free. It used to be extra $5, which really did annoy a lot of people and make it harder for people to watch races, particularly the trots, because a lot of the time, you know, if you ran late, you'd end up on Sky 2, and it does make it really hard to showcase your product. So it was an interesting situation last week. There hasn't really been any resolution to the situation. I know there's a lot of communication between HRV and Sky over the last week, but I haven't heard anything official as to a reason for why that meeting was transferred to Sky 2 last week.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Do you think a change of name would have made any difference? Because they're talking about changing the Sky 2 name and jazzing it up a bit, or do you think participants are just too wise to what that channel actually is?
Well, I think they're a bit wise to it, and I think I don't know the reasoning for how Sky operate their channels, and that's their decision. Obviously, they control the output of what product gets put out there. I think participants and the public would probably just want to know what their mentality is with regards to programming. We just seem to have a lot of races on, and particularly local product, but there's also international stuff as well. So it's a really jam-packed thing, and you know, I think punters and participants particularly who put the show on would just like to know what the mentality is of Sky and what they're looking to do as a way of, you know, increasing turnover, which, you know, goes to the benefit of the industry.
Well, it's a pretty big day in racing. We've got the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes with the return of Nature Strip and other sprinters like Geetra and, of course, Masked Crusader and the like, and Awado. And at the Meadows at the Greyhounds, you'd be keeping a close eye on this stand tonight, the Australia Cup heats.
Yeah, it's a really big night out there at the Meadows tonight. You've got the eight heats of the Australian Cup. Pretty much, basically, it's a lot like the Melbourne Cup heats from back in November. And then you've got the Fan of Bale Stayers as well. So some big racing out there at the Meadows tonight with the finals all there next week. But we'll quickly go through a week in review. And it's been a crazy week, particularly for the Russell and Nathan Jack combination. Obviously won the Albury Cup there last Friday night. They've had a massive week again this week. They capped it off on Sunday when Perfect Stride won the Ararat Cup and broke the track record, new track record, 155.7. Paid $10 on the fixed odds. It was an amazing race. They went absolutely bananas early on. They went so quick. And it was basically set up for something to come from the back. And it was a brilliant drive from Nathan to get to he got to the lead down the back straight after they went a lap. He got a bit of a breather and then he was just too tough late. It was a really good drive and a really good performance. He then went to Warrigal on Monday with Patriot Stride and won the trot race there. $1.60 favourite, 2.3.9 was the mile right there. He's been trialling pretty well. He got beat first up from a spell, but he made sure he got home there on Monday. And did the job well. Maryborough during the week, National News won for Craig and Abby Turnbull. $1.12 was the price there, 155 the mile rate. Really easy kill for him there at Maryborough. He got the job done. He was racing against a lot of inferior opposition to him. He's a really nice type, and he was too good there on Wednesday. Wednesday night, we had a really good card out there at Shep. We made Frio won the first for Stephen Duffy and Lee Sutton, led all the way at a mile rate of 2.1.2. Tetra, another winner for Nathan Jack. This one at a big price, $26, 2.1.1 the mile rate for Bill Milner. She consistent horse, just doesn't win out of turn, but got the conditions to suit there the other night. Lil's Nightmare for Donna Castles was another good winner, $158.4, $4.20 was the price there on the tote. Al Ola May for Dave Moran and Rod Nakey made it back-to-back victories after a win at winning its first start. It made it 2 out of 2 with a 2-minute mile rate on Wednesday. Night School won for Stephen Boyington, trainer driver. 154.5 was the mile rate. He really put a gap on them. He got out to $5 on the fixed odds, which was a crazy price for a horse that had been racing against really strong opposition. And he led all the way, gave nothing else a chance. Blazing Cracker for Stephen Cleave was a good winner of the next, $3.60, 2 minutes the mile rate. bursting to win a race that one, and he got the job done there the other night. Junior Warfare got a good trail into the race and won its race for Greg Lewis and Brad Chisholm at 157. And then the two trot races at the end of the program. I'm Ready Jet was the winner of the Gold Series heat of the Lynn McPherson Breed for Speed for Anton Galino and Jason Lee. 157.7 was the rate. Was really dominant, and it was expected to win that race, and it duly saluted. And Golden Sunset won the silver heat for Juanita Breen. Had been probably a touch disappointing its last couple of runs, but really struck a winnable race there the other night. 2 minutes the mile rate and paid $2 on the tote. Swan Hill on Thursday night, Artiz for Gary Payne and Cody Crosland. They made the trek up to Swan Hill for a winner, 21.7 the mile rate, led all the way, $3 on the tote. It was a really winnable race for that horse. It's been going pretty consistently of late without winning, but was able to improve with Cody in the cart and got the job done. And then last night we had the Newcastle Mile was on, so this was an automatic qualifier for the Miracle Mile, which is on in a couple of weeks' time. And we said earlier about Nathan Jack having a really big run. He backed it up with Mark Dan for Emma Stewart. 152.7 they went over the mile, paid double figures in some parts, and did the job well to win the mile, and now goes in to the Miracle Mile at Menangle in a couple of weeks' time. It was a dominant performance. So Nathan Jack hasn't been back in the cart all that long, but he's had a very dominant couple of weeks since returning to the sulky.
You there, Dan?
I'm here, mate, yep.
No worries. I was just having a look at, in that race in a couple of weeks' time there. Of course, it's going to be hopefully big locally.
Well, it looks like that, and particularly when we have a look later on the Chariots of Fire, which is on tonight, I think nearly half the field's Victorian, and, you know, we're going to have Mark Dan's already qualified for the Miracle Mile, so there'll be probably the Chariots winner is likely to get through to it as well, so one of the Vics get through and win that. So there's potential for quite a number of Victorian horses to be running in the Miracle Mile, which is a bit of an unusual occurrence. It doesn't sort of happen all that often. And when you consider that Bonsell Benjamin is already up there in being trained in New South Wales, but is obviously from the Golden Valley, he's up there too. So it looks like it could be a pretty popular Victorian Miracle Mile this year.
And, of course, King of Swing is $2.60, the Sydney runner, and it's its backyard, of course, but that doesn't really mean too much these days, does it, for King of Swing? We fought that in the Miracle Mile, and it didn't sort of work out for King of Swing, so the Miracle Mile probably would be different, though, you would think.
Yeah, it's certainly his sort of race. He loved that mile racing up there at Menangle. It's his bread and butter sort of racing, so he'll certainly benefit from that, and you know, he's coming off a brilliant Hunter Cup victory, so he's going to be really hard to beat in a couple of weeks to run.
The one for me in that Miracle Mile is actually Spirit of St. Louis. Actually, I think that's a really, it's just in a purple patch of form at the moment, and I might have a couple of drachmas on that going forward.
Well, he's certainly done nothing wrong in his last few runs, particularly, he's obviously won the three Cup races. The Shep, Bendigo and Ballarat. He was super impressive in the Hunter Cup without actually being able to win the race. And if he gets the right sort of favours, he could certainly win a Miracle Mile if he got the right sort of barrier draw.
No worries, Dan. We might go to a sponsors break and have a look at this big meeting at Terang, the Pacing Cup tonight.
Yeah, we've got a quaddy at the Pacing Cup, but we've also gone with a multi, but the multi's at Menangle.
Beautiful.
Big races up there at Menangle, and I thought there was a couple of horses up there that are decent price that I couldn't really let go, so hopefully we can get the listeners a bit of coin for the weekend.
No worries. Look forward to that. That's brilliant, Dan. So we'll come back after the sponsors break, and we'll have a look at the Terang Pacing Cup meeting, and we'll also travel up to Menangle and have a bit of a look at the group racing up there as well.
We all have our own purpose in life, and it's different for everyone. It could be looking after the land or bringing smiles to your customers. Maybe it's building a dream home to raise your family. Maybe it's to keep studying and learning, or coaching and staying connected to the community. No matter what you're here to do, GMCU are here for you. GMCU, banking with purpose. Visit gmcu.com.au or speak to your local team today.
Station sponsor.
You know the garden could do with a makeover, so what are you waiting for? Cleves Garden Supplies have got everything you need to get the job done, and they're open 7 days a week. Coloured mulches, decorative pebbles, river stones, crushed rock, sands, gravel, sleepers, topsoils, pavers, you name it, they've got it. They'll deliver small loads and big loads straight to your door. Drop in and see them at 20 Wanganui Road, Shepparton, or give them a call. 58212111. That's 58212111.
1FM sponsor.
Saturday Sport with Mark Owens.
Welcome back to the Super Saturday Sports Show in Square Gaiters, of course, the Harness Racing Show. Well, general racing show, really, these days, with the voice of RSN, Dan Hibbard. And, of course, I bring him back via the phone patch to 1FM 98.5. Dan, we're about to have a quaddie at Terang tonight, of course. It's the Terang Co-op Pacing Cup at Group 2 level.
It is a really good night there at Terang and Menangle tonight. The Terang Cup is always a really good race, and looking forward to seeing that unfold tonight.
Do you want to do the multi first at Menangle?
Yeah, we're going to do the multi first.
Okay.
I'm having a little bit of internet trouble here, so I've only written the numbers for the quaddie, so I might have to get you to...
No worries.
I've certainly written down the multi numbers for Menangle tonight. So the first leg's actually race 8, number 11, Bondi Lockdown, in the Chariots of Fire. You can currently get about $3.60 for this bloke, and I can't understand how the hell is that price. He's been absolutely dominant in everything that he's contested of late. He's as tough a horse as you'll come across, and he's going to get... he's probably going to have to sit without cover, and they're certainly going to run time. There's no doubt that they're not going to run fast time in this in the race, but he's basically beaten everything that he's come up against in this race. Probably the only one he hasn't is Krug, who's obviously one of the equal favourites as well. But look, I think $3.60 is really a good value for him, and even if you just wanted to take him as a single bet, he's certainly the best chance for me I see on that program tonight. The second leg is race 9, number 10, Cruz Bromac. He's come back from a long layoff. He's had a couple of runs. He was a good winner at Menangle. Last start when they went 151 was the time. He didn't beat much, but again, he's coming into a race where he should be really competitive against a similar field. And I think he's another one to add in. So the multi, race 8, number 11, into race 9, number 10, gets you odds of about $8.10. And again, if you're just looking to have a single bet, I think you're not going to go far wrong with taking $3.60 about Bondi Lockdown.
Well, I've just taken it for the $8.10 on a course. So I'll just repeat those numbers. It is race 7, number 11 at Menangle tonight. That is the Chariots of Fire. And race 8, number 10, Cruz Bromac. Might recommend that they have a look at the running double as well in the pools. So it might be pretty big pools tonight. And just on, of course... Bondi Lockdown. I took it a little earlier, $3 to win at $3.60, but run second, I get a voucher back.
That's all you've got to do. That's what you need. If a bit of insurance there if he does happen to run second. And look, he's going to be really hard to beat regardless, so you'll get a good run for your money there.
So great minds think alike, Dan?
Well, I think so.
Hope so. So how about we have a look at this quaddie now at Terang?
The quaddie, so the first leg of the quaddie, I've gone numbers 3, 6 and 7. I'm just having a little bit of internet trouble here at the moment, so I haven't been able to get the field up on my...
No worries, I've got it in front of me. So 3 is Queen of Crime?
Yeah, this is the Trotters Cup. So Queen of Crime's been racing really consistently. This is probably a hometown cup, so she's definitely an opportunity to strike a blow, and I think she's about $4 from memory. So
yep,
she's certainly a key hope in the first leg. Number 6 is
the Penny Drops.
Penny Drops is dropping back from the Inter Dominions and the Great Southern Star. 20-metre handicap probably is the negating thing with it, but I still think he's probably the best horse in the race, certainly on form. I think he's going to be really hard to beat. And the bottom one is number 7, which is of Keying Lavana from memory. she's been a little bit disappointing in her first couple of runs back from a spell after she'd won the sires as a four-year-old. I'm just not sure where she's at, but she's too good to leave out. Another one, Hometown Cup, I'm expecting her to run a much better race. So 3, 6, and 7 in the first leg of the quaddie tonight.
So we go to the second leg, which race 5 was the first leg of the quaddie at Terang. Second leg, race 6, Dan.
And I've gone 1, 2, 4, and 6 in the second leg.
Right, so number 1 is Master Moonlight.
Yeah, he gets the good draw. I couldn't really not take him because of that, so throwing him in basically because of the draw. Number 2.
Vintage Cheddar, the Gaff Camp.
This is an interesting runner. He's first run for the Gaff stable from New Zealand. Normally, they're pretty well wound up first up, but there's been a couple that they've had at the races that just haven't performed as well as they'd hoped first up from over at NZ. So it was probably a little bit of a risk to take it one out, but it's definitely a winning hope from barrier number 2. Number 4.
Silent Major.
Yeah, he's been racing consistently. Another one that should get the right sort of trip from that barrier, so had to throw him in. And number 6?
Number 6 is Jillaby Sylvester.
He was a good second last time, and he was probably a bit stiff not to actually win the race. Another one racing on the home soil, so expecting to run a good race. So 1, 2, 4 and 6 in the second leg.
And we go to race 7, the third leg of the quaddie at Terang tonight, which is, by the way, the Pacing Cup down at Group 2 level.
It's a really good race. It's a really competitive race. There's no absolute lay-down misere in it. I went 3, 4, 7, 8 and 9. So we'll start off with number 3.
And number 3 is a Demon Delight. What a name and bet for you, Dan.
Yes, absolutely. He's been going very well in the top-class races. He'd come back from a spell. This is probably a little bit of a step down in grade. So barrier 3 gets every opportunity to record another victory.
Will he go west is the fall, Dan?
Yeah, he's a standing start specialist. He's won a couple of good races over in Tasmania. And he's always thereabouts. He's a really nice type. And he's another one that the right sort of run, he could certainly win.
And then we go down to number 7, Like a Wildfire.
Yeah, he's the one that's getting a lot of support, particularly from the tipsters around the place. He's been really super in his last few runs. And, he's probably going to start favourite and be the one to beat. Number 8?
Phoenix Prince for Jody Quinlan taking the drive.
Yeah, another one that's come back from a layoff and hasn't been all that far away, dropping back in grade a little bit to what it's been running against. And I expect it to go pretty well tonight, even though it has got that inside the second row draw. And number 9?
He's Better the Bomb. It's one of my favourites, actually. Karen Manning driving tonight. $15, and it could be the blowout, Dan.
Yeah, he's a war horse. He just doesn't seem... He had a really good run there probably 12, 18 months ago. Actually, probably nearly 2 years ago, I think it was, where he was just about winning everything. He's always thereabouts. If he gets the right sort of run, he could certainly win, but he'll need a little bit of luck. So 3, 4, 7, 8, 9 in the third leg. And the last leg, we've gone numbers 5 and 6. Number 5...
is October Rain, $3.80.
Yeah, local horse, going really well, and I'm expecting him to perform well for the local fans there tonight. And number 6...
is the $1.75 favourite, Holy Basil.
Yeah, this is probably the conundrum of the whole quaddie. It's a $1.70 favourite, but it hasn't raced since 2019. It's undefeated, and it's got a lot of ticks, obviously, because it's undefeated. It's done a really good job when it was in work, but I'm not sure why it's been off the scene. Obviously, it's been an injury in fourth. I can't imagine there would be any other reason than that. But he's had a couple of trials. One of the horses that beat him in a trial has come out and won. You're taking a rock-bottom price about him first up for so long, and I'm just going to risk him by taking the... October Rain, but I think in class wise they're certainly the two best horses in the race, but just couldn't take him one out. So 5 and 6 in the last leg.
So I'll run through the quaddie and you tell me if I've left anything out. Race 5 is the first leg of the quaddie at Terang tonight. Numbers 3, 6 and 7.
Yep.
Race 6, second leg of the quaddie at Terang. 1, 2, 4 and 6.
Yep, correct.
Race 7 at Terang, which is the Cup, Terang Cup. third leg of the quaddy, numbers 3, 4, 7, 8, and 9.
That's correct.
And in the final leg, we're just taking the two runners in race 8, numbers 5 and 6, race 8 in the quaddy.
Correct. So that's $120 for 100% of the dividend, and obviously just take it for a flexi, because I think there's a little bit of value there, particularly in the first first three legs. The last leg's the probably going to be the tricky one. If you did want to play a bit wider in there, a bit more safety, reduce your percentage a bit, you might get a bit of value. I'm really... really hesitant about that $1.75, but just given it's been off the scene for so long.
I've taken it for $10, rounded down to $9.60, gives me 8%, Dan.
Perfect result. Just sit back and enjoy that, and obviously sit back and watch that the good racing there at Menangle as well. It's going to be a fantastic night of racing, harness racing across the country.
Now, quickly, talk to me about the Black Caviar Lightning Stakes and... yeah, well, the return of some hot horses today. Of course, the headline act is none better than Nature Strip.
It's a great race. It's probably one of the best races you'll come across in a very long time, particularly in terms of a lightning.
I think this is, I don't use a lot of hyperboles, but I reckon this is the best edition of this race this century.
Yeah, certainly, you know, we were blessed with Black Caviar during her reign, but she was obviously dominant. This race today is so open. There's all of them could potentially win it with the right sort of luck. I think they're going to race pretty well down, you know, like in a straight line. They'll come out of the boxes, out of the barriers rather, and just, you know, run dead straight. I don't think they're going to bunch. So it's hard to work out who that might benefit. We know what Nature Strip is like. You'll get out and just go and try and break their hearts. Look, I reckon on an each-way play, I reckon Masked Crusade is a decent hope, particularly if they do go particularly hard early. He could certainly run over the top of them late on, and I mean very late on. It wouldn't be the last, you'd only be sort of getting to them in the last 50 or so metres. So I'm just looking forward to watching that race later on this afternoon.
Oh, I just think for Masked Crusader, it might need 1,200. Like, it just might need and the extra 200. Like, it might just run out of galloping room.
That's true. He hasn't been beaten. I was just listening to a thing on the radio about it. He hasn't been beaten first up, and he hasn't been beaten in Melbourne. The only query for him is he's never run down the straight. So that's the issue that he's got. He's going to need to overcome that. But you think with the Hawks team, they'd have him pretty well wound up. So, look, I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a cracking race. But I think just on that each-way play, Masked Crusader might be the way to go.
Yeah, I've jumped on Home Affairs today, race 7, number 8. The Chris Waller, of course, J-Mac combination that won the Melbourne Cup very elegant last year. Like the fact that James McDonald has jumped off Nature Strip, that won the Everest last year, to take Home Affairs.
That's an interesting point, and he was really good last year. He's going to have to obviously step up to the big open grade, but he's probably the one horse that could certainly do it. And you know, we don't quite know where Nature Strip is at. He might be on the downward slope, but he's still obviously going to be the one to beat.
Well, they're talking Royal Ascot with Nature Strip, so we're going to have to wait and see.
We will. But if he does what he normally does and race well, he might be on a plane over to England. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, Dan. That's where we have to leave it. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate. Have a good weekend.
You too, Dan.
If you have enjoyed the show, then please let us know what you think at our socials. 1FM Super Saturday Sport on Facebook and Twitter. And tune in from 8 a.m. next week to find out more. Till next week, goodbye.